This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com.
Hello there, Editor-in-Chiefs. I'm Stephanie Flaxman, and you are listening to Editor-in-Chief, the weekly audio broadcast that delivers the art of writing updated for marketing in the digital age so that you can become the Editor-in-Chief of your online business. So imagine with me that you just went to go get a routine dental cleaning. You go every 6 months because you take care of your teeth. And you're told that you have gum recession in one little spot and that you need to go see a periodontist to find out your options. And so far, you know, your options are not very pretty. There's like a graft involved where you would have to get a little bit of gum removed from the roof of your mouth and have it cover the gum recession. Or there's like a synthetic process that you could do to replace the gum damage. So you're not looking forward to it too much, but you want to take care of your teeth. So you go to a periodontist. And at your appointment, he examines your mouth and he tells you that you don't actually have gum recession. And that your teeth have shifted, and in the one spot where it looks like the gum is receding, you actually just have a long tooth. The technical term is long tooth. And so there's no gum recession. There's just more, the gum has, you know, I don't want to get into the technical, all the details, but there's just more tooth exposed. The gum has not actually receded, so the process of the grafting or the synthetic gum, it wouldn't help anything because there's not anything there. Good news for you, right? And it is good news. But I'm going to tell you what happens next. And what happens next actually happened to me because all of that happened to me recently. And so I was super jazzed when I found out that I didn't actually have gum recession, so I wouldn't have to go through a process I didn't want to go through. But then because of the teeth shifting aspect of it, I was told that it would probably be better to correct that if I had some orthodontic treatment that would straighten my teeth. And I listened very patiently, but then I was like super excited because I was so ready to shoot down anything cosmetic related to my teeth because I really didn't, that wasn't why I was going to the periodontist to follow up. I didn't want a lot of gum recession that would cause a lot of problems later if I didn't get it treated. But I was like totally against anything cosmetic. So I was like, nope, I don't, you know, my teeth look fine to me. They're teeth. It's not something I'm picky about. It's not like an Oxford comma. In my world, that's a big deal. I like using the Oxford comma, but my teeth are teeth. They're there. I take good care of them. They're fairly healthy. So I did not like the cosmetic suggestion that I could straighten out this one part that would then pull up my tooth so that, or straighten my tooth so that the gum would be pulled up and then it wouldn't, you know, be as exposed. But then, and also at the same time he was pitching me this orthodontic treatment, he said it would cause the gum recession. So we'd have to actually do the treatment I didn't want to have. So I'm just ready to shoot the guy down. And I guess a disclaimer is that I'm very happy with my dentist and this periodontist that I went to see. I'm not going to tell you their names, but they are very good. And what I'm about to say might make them sound like in a negative light. And that's not what I intend because I think they're very good at what they do. But so, okay. So I say to the guy, oh, no, thanks. You know, I don't care about anything that's just cosmetic. The way my teeth look, I think my teeth look fine. And then he says to me, well, have you noticed your voice sounds weird? And he wasn't laughing. I laughed as soon as he said that. And I said, I don't know. And he said, do you notice there's an extra swooshing noise in your mouth when you talk? And I said, yeah, I guess I noticed that. And he doesn't know anything about me. personally or professionally. And so I said, yeah. And he said, well, because your mouth has shifted and your teeth are, crooked like this, I think your brain has corrected. And like, he's like, say S for me. So I'm like, S. He's like, say F. I was like, F. And he told me other letters. And I was like, okay, I get it. I know what you're talking about, but like, I don't give a but he keeps going. And I was like, well, don't you want your voice to sound like everyone else? And don't you want, you know, like if you straighten your teeth, your voice will get better. And he just really underestimated how much I don't give a shit about sounding like other people. This is my voice, man. Like, lay off. But okay, here's the business lesson in it. When he was going for what would happen if he straightened my teeth, that was more of what we would call, you know, in copywriting or when we're promoting our businesses, that would be a feature. It's okay, I do this treatment and the feature is you have straight teeth. But if you don't want straight teeth, you really have to go for the benefit that your audience would feel that they would gain if they do what you want them to do. So when I wasn't going for kind of the feature of it all, the straightening of the teeth, He went in with the benefit of something that really would affect me. So then he thought, well, I'm projecting what he said, what he thought. But, you know, I think he was thinking, well, maybe she, you know, if I pitch it to her this way, that maybe she's self-conscious about her voice. And if I presented that, oh, I think your voice will, you know, be fixed if we do this, that's more of a benefit. So all this is going, I'm not like listening to anything he's saying about what could happen with my voice or my teeth because I know I don't want to do it. I'm just thinking like, man, I'm writing this podcast episode in my head because this is so interesting how he's approaching this to me and how he's pitching off these things. And again, he was doing his job and I think he was really good. I loved the exam. He was very meticulous, which I appreciated. But to him, again, like these things really matter and these things that aren't a big deal to me. Again, it's not like punctuation usage or things that matter in my world. So that was kind of the first lesson that I wanted to get into about when you're revising your writing. You know, you always want to go for the benefit, right? You want to go for something that if the reader really sees a transformation in his or her life. But the tricky thing with that is that you have to know your audience. And once again, he just really underestimated how much I don't give a shit about, I want my voice to sound, you know, less of a swooshy when I say things. And it's not even that consistent. I don't even really believe it's because of the teeth, like the stuff going on in my mouth. I grind my teeth and I clench my jaw a lot. And I know I'm probably doing irreparable damage that future Stephanie is going to have to deal with. But I'm doing the best I can. And again, I just think this is my voice. This is my voice, guys. This is what I have to work with. And I really don't think, could be wrong, but I don't think correcting my teeth is going to do anything about how I say certain words sometimes. So yeah, he thought he was going for a benefit, but he did not know his audience. So in an episode of Rough Draft, which I'll link to in the show notes with my good friend Damien Farnworth, he talked about that you have to paint a clear picture where that your prospect can relate to. This is just a recent episode that happened after the periodontist trip, but I realized that that's exactly what was going wrong. You know, he thought he was really painting this clear picture that, you know, he probably thought I was younger than I am. Most people do. And so he was like, oh, this, you know, this young girl probably cares about how she sounds or whatever. I'm going to go in for the voice thing. Can't be different. Can't have a voice that sounds a little different or a little off sometimes. And again, he didn't know his audience. And I don't know what, the only thing he could have said that would have convinced me was that if it was a health concern because the whole time the only reason I was there was to find out if there were any, you know, health repercussions to not doing anything about what was happening with my gum. I wasn't going in for a cosmetic thing. I just wanted to make sure nothing was going to be medically unsound down the line, with what was currently going on in my mouth situation. Yes. So that is a little writing lesson for you, when to really make sure you know your audience if you want them to take a certain action, because just that little disconnect will get them to tune out. And like I said, I was tuning out. I was writing this podcast episode in my head. And then the second part of the episode that I was writing, which kind of goes back to an old episode of Editor in Chief, which I will also link to in the show notes. It was the proofreading episode. The professional way to proofread your writing when you don't have time. Was it that episode? I believe it was that. I think it was that episode. But it's where I talked about when I first started working online and having my own business, how people didn't really get what I was doing. And, you know, they just kind of undermined it a little bit, which you might encounter a lot. And so, I think it is frequently common because you're doing something that really matters to you. You're taking a lot of risk, and you're working really hard at something that you care about. And a lot of people don't feel comfortable doing that in their own lives, and so they will, you know, try to, you know, put it down or diminish it or act like, oh, it's not going to really happen because maybe they don't have something going on in their life that they really care about, and it's easier to poo-poo what other people are doing. So during this conversation, again, he wants my voice to sound like everyone else. He says I have this extra swishing noise and blah, 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 don't I want it to be corrected. And I was thinking that your unique selling proposition, what you make when you're forming your business, why people go to you and not someone else, completely contradicts what most people are taught. Growing up and in life, people are taught, be like everyone else. Don't have your voice have this weird swishing noise. You should sound like everyone else. You should, you know, follow this path because it's like everyone else. You know, all those things were very, as much as there's like a creative, inspirational quotes out there and everything, we're still very much taught to fall in line of what other people have done before, because it makes everyone feel comfortable. When people can put you in a box, they feel happier because they can identify something. If you don't fit into that, it confuses people. And so I kind of had a little sympathy for people that do, maybe put down people who are creating their own businesses or trying to live creative lives that they want, because really what you do every day in business contradicts what you are taught growing up and in life. And I just got really fascinated with that concept, and just realizing that, I think, can help block out a lot of the negativity that you might encounter. I'm not saying it's all negative. I'm sure you know lovely people who are encouraging and want to help you do the things you want to do in your life and are supportive. I'm sure those people exist, but people, you know, who won't be so on board, you'll probably have to encounter too. So that's probably why and where they're coming from. They don't get why you would want to stand out and do something different when it's, you know, quote should just sort of fall in line. So with the periodontist example, you know, he wasn't coming from a place where I was not going to want to have a voice that conformed to the way he, without the swishing noise, that sounded like a quote normal voice or quote like everyone else. And so, I just was fascinated with these two business ideas. And it's also, the content lessons are everywhere because it's just intertwined with life. And those are things that people, you know, understand that you can, you know, pull from your own experiences and put into your own content when you're writing. So that is today's episode. If you have any other thoughts that I didn't think about or want to contribute at all, you can go over to editorinchief.fm and find the blog post that goes along with this episode. And, you know, I was thinking that's a cool place. If I ever have afterthoughts that I don't really, you know, get to, or I don't really complete a thought within the podcast, I might, you know, comment over there and write little addendums to the episode if they pop into my mind. Why not? We can use all this online stuff creatively. We can push the way that we normally use things because why not? So I might start doing that for little extras or bonuses or whatever you want to call them. We can come up with some name for them. So I might be over there writing comments about my own post. If you want to contribute, please feel free. And then if you like Editor in Chief, I hope you do. I'm really happy when you join me every week and when you send me nice thoughts on Twitter. I really appreciate that. So if you want to go over to iTunes and leave a rating or a review there to send more love my way, I would appreciate it. You guys are awesome. I love doing the show. I hope that you love it too. And if you don't love it, I'm sorry. I can't do everything. So yeah, that's it. Have a great week until I talk to you next week. I'm Stephanie Flaxman. You are listening to Editor in Chief.